This is Start Making Sense, the weekly podcast of The Nation magazine, and I'm John Wiener. Haiti is front page news this week. For that story, we turn, of course, to Amy Willens. She's written two books about Haiti, most recently the award-winning Farewell Fred Voodoo, and before that, The Rainy Season. She was also Jerusalem correspondent for The New Yorker. Her journalism has also appeared in The Atlantic, The LA Times, and The New York Times, and she's a longtime contributing editor at The Nation. She's also a 2020 Guggenheim Fellow, and she teaches in the literary journalism program at UC Irvine. Amy, welcome back.
Thank you, John.
Haiti has been in what you could call a downward spiral for a long time now. We've talked about it every few months, and there's never any good news. It has no elected government. For the last 2.5 years, the U.S. has supported Ariel Henry as de facto prime minister. Last time we talked, which was a month ago, he had gotten the U.S. and the U.N. to support sending 1,000 policemen from Kenya to Port-au-Prince to try to control the gangs that were wreaking havoc in the capital. I understand Ariel Henry went to Kenya last week to sign the deal. Then what happened?
He went, he shook a lot of hands. He looked extremely presidential. Meanwhile, the whole country was exploding. And then Ariel Henry made the mistake of going to the United States before he went back to Haiti. While Haiti was in the throes of terrible unrest in the capital, everybody in the prisons left the prisons, fighting in the streets, burning of buildings, attacks on Haitian police officers. And so Ariel Henry tried to get back into Haiti. And the gangs who are running Haiti right now from the streets don't want Ariel Henry on the premises. So they went to the international airport, they shut it down and they shot at it and burned parts around it. And then the Dominican Republic, which shares the island with Haiti, said they would not allow Ariel Henry's plane to land in the Dominican Republic. A decision made, supposedly, I have heard, while the plane was landing. And the plane had to then lift itself up from its landing pattern. And it went to, they decided to go to Puerto Rico, an American-held territory, as we all know. And that's where he is now.
What do we know about the situation in Port-au-Prince today? We're speaking on Monday afternoon.
Well, everything's in a situation of both violence and stasis. Right now, today, there's a big meeting in Jamaica of CARICOM. It's a Caribbean trade organization that includes almost every state in the Caribbean, including Haiti. The Americans are going to be there, Anthony Blinken. Meanwhile, in Port-au-Prince, prisons have been opened. The prisoners have left. A lot of those prisoners were put in there as leaders of various gangs or assistant leaders of various gangs. So this is a lot of heavy hitters who got out of prison, as well as the usual run-of-the-mill person who was never even charged with anything. And there in the streets, police headquarters are under siege by the gangs. And the gangs have sort of come to various coalitions that are now attempting to wield political power.
I understand there's an alliance of 9 gangs called the G9, and they have a leader.
Well, that is Jimmy Cherizier. His nickname is Barbecue. He claims that's because he likes to grill, but other people think it's because he likes to burn things down and burn up people. And he's been, you know, in charge of this criminal kidnapping gang for a long time. A lot of people want to portray him as a revolutionary left leader of the Haitian people. I question this, but that is how he also wants to portray himself. And he would dearly love to be president of Haiti. I thought so for when he first started appearing on the scene. But he's guilty of so many crimes, and his gang is guilty of so many crimes. I don't know that he really commands the Haitian people the way he says he does. Just a few months ago, there was a movement called Bois Calé. Bois Calé means sort of shaved stick. It is also a synonym for the male organ. And it was a sort of neighborhood groups that gathered to attack gangsters. So I'm not sure. And they did. And they killed a lot of what Haitians call bandits, members of the gangs. At this time, I'm not sure that Cherizier, Barbecue, really really commands the respect of the Haitian people. Remember, too, that the kidnappings were not just of wealthy Haitians, outsiders, clerics from other countries as well as from Haiti, but of the average little person who had to pay ransoms, too.
The Guardian called Cherizier now the most powerful man in Haiti. I wonder if you agree.
He may be, because aside from him, there's one other person, and then there are the opposition leaders. Now, the opposition leaders, some of them have connections to various gangs, but most of them don't have any armed force at their command. So depends what you mean by powerful. If you mean most gun power, yeah, I think that Cherizier has that. There's also the former coup plotter Guy Philippe, who was a participant in the second coup against Jean-Bertrand Aristide, the freely and fairly elected president of Haiti at the time. So Guy Philippe was in prison in the United States for 7 years on charges of money laundering for the cartels in Haiti. And he was in Miami and indicted and convicted and was in prison. And then suddenly, 3 months ago, he was deported by the United States into the maelstrom that is Haiti. And he's somewhat popular himself, and he has a bit of a following. And he gathered together a bunch of armed state protectors of the environment. So there is an armed group that he has at his command, ostensibly.
Cherizier seems to have one eye on the United States. There's a profile of him in The New Yorker, I think last year, by John Lee Anderson, where he described himself as a revolutionary. He said his influences were Fidel Castro and Malcolm X. My favorite quote, "I like Martin Luther King too, but he didn't like fighting with guns, and I fight with guns," close quote.
I just can't tell you how shameless that quote is on the part of Cherizier. Has he fought with guns for the people of Haiti? No, he's fought with guns for the enrichment of his gang and at the behest of forces that are quite obscure, but they're there. This gang participated in massacres of market people. This is not Fidel or Che. They have not threatened the bourgeois elite, as it's called in Haiti. Bourgeois not meaning middle class, but upper class in Haiti.
Yeah, I know he was expelled from the National Police Force in 2018 for crimes that included the slaughter in the La Saline slums, in which 71 people were killed, 7 women were raped, and 400 homes were burned down.
Yeah, that's not my idea of the ideal people's leader. This is a market, the La Saline market. This is a poverty-stricken open market that I have walked through the mud in many, many times. And anyone who would dream of slaughtering them, it was a political massacre because they actually are the people.
This, of course, brings us to the question of the role of the United States. I saw that State Department spokesman Matthew Miller said last week that the U.S. called on Ariel Henry to, this was after he was didn't succeed in returning, to, quote, make concessions in the interest of the Haitian people. We are not calling on him or pushing for him to resign, but we are urging him to expedite the transition to an empowered and inclusive governance structure that will move with urgency to help the country prepare for a multinational security support mission to address the security situation and pave the way for free and fair elections, close quote, U.S. State Department spokesman. Your comment.
Wait, can you pick me up off the floor? I've been overwhelmed by a tsunami of dreck. That is political non-speak for we're not going anywhere. We don't know if we've changed our policy. We have no idea what the heck we can do. We don't want to embarrass ourselves by forcing the head of a sovereign nation, which is, by the way, this is the first declaration that they think Haiti is a sovereign nation, to resign. But we want him to resign, but maybe he won't resign. That will be embarrassing. So, I mean, it deserves to be engraved in stone and put up on the front of the State Department. Declining ability of the United States to figure anything out. This State Department has been reprehensible in the whole Haitian debacle. If they had moved much sooner, more would have been done. If they had, as they like to say, put their thumb on the scale earlier. Much could have been done, but they allowed and allowed and allowed and permitted this guy, Ariel Henry, to neglectation rule, do nothing about the gangs, or worse, who knows how much he participated. And now the gangs are running the country. And now Ariel Henry doesn't want to resign. And now they're going to let him not resign. And then the opposition won't be able to really coalesce in any way. I think that the conversation in Jamaica, I mean, I'll be delighted if something comes out of it other than barbecue or Guy Philippe recently out of prison in the United States after 7 years. As long as neither of them is at the table or becomes president, that would be good if something could come up from the CARICOM discussion. But I doubt it highly because all the Haitians are now entrenched against each other, the opposition leaders, and then these two gangsters are threatening to become president, and they have some political allies who are speaking out in their favor.
You've said that the gangs or paramilitary forces now hold power in the capital city, certainly, and they did demand the resignation of Ariel Henry. What do they want? What is their end game?
People don't understand this because everybody is always giving Haiti the epithet of the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. Yeah, but poor nations, as we know, can yield a lot to corrupt administrations. And that's what's been happening in Haiti for years. That's why it's so hotly contested. There are certainly patriots involved in trying to take over Haiti, real patriots. But there are also people who just want to run the customs, to be in control of the transshipment of drugs between Latin America and the United States. You know, these are very lucrative positions to run Haitian customs and to run the drug trade. And that's what someone in control of the Haitian government, who doesn't have the best interests of the Haitian people in mind, can do. They can become even wealthier than they've already become on the backs of the Haitian people. And that's what they're buying, the presidency and control of law and order, and thus control of trade, both black market trade and real trade in Haiti. Skimming is what they want to be doing.
Let's just talk for a minute about the pro-democracy groups that we've talked about here many times in the past. What do they think should happen now? Are they capable of any political action now?
I don't know what they're capable of. I mean, when I come to look at it now from all that's gone on and all that hasn't been done, and my realization that the United States no longer knows how to or seems willing to put its thumb on the scale of something that appears slightly democratic, non-militaristic, untainted by criminality. I now think that maybe the United States was the only chance for these people, and that the US wouldn't come down on their side. But because this group, the most prominent of which is the Montana Group, and it's a coalition. Yeah, it's a coalition of many, many groups, at least 20 or 30 groups, which represent a lot of people in Haiti, but it is unwieldy. But they've come out with a transitional plan toward elections. They've come out with a lot of grown-up sounding documents that would be binding on them to move toward true elections in Haiti. And now Guy Philippe, the other gangster who wants to run Haiti, not barbecue, realizing that the Montana Group had all this documentation and stuff they could present, he's come up with his national plan too, proposing himself as one of the three members of the council to lead toward elections. I mean, do you want to trust a guy convicted of money laundering for the drug cartels to be on the council that leads Haiti toward free and fair, uncorrupt elections? I don't really want him there. Also, he overthrew an elected government.
You make a convincing case.
Haiti is original. Anything can happen. They overthrew the French. They overthrew the slave masters. And then they didn't just overthrow them, they took hold of a government and made the actual first Black Republic. So you never know what interesting, fabulous, or slightly insane things may come out of this discussion in Jamaica today and in the future. I don't expect a solution today unless the United States marches in with the Marines, and Biden doesn't strike me as the guy to do that.
Amy Willens, she wrote recently about the crisis in Haiti for The Atlantic. Amy, Thank you once again for talking with us about Haiti.
You're very welcome. I hope one day it will all be resolved in a beautiful way and I will never have to talk to you about it again. I'll just go down there.
After this interview was recorded, Ariel Henry agreed to step aside as prime minister after the establishment of a transitional presidential council and the naming of an interim prime minister. The council will consist of 7 voting members, including, we are told, representatives from several coalitions, the private sector, civil society, and 1 religious leader. You've been listening to Start Making Sense, the weekly podcast of The Nation magazine. You can hear more interviews like this one at thenation.com, and you can subscribe to Start Making Sense at iTunes Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm John Wiener. Thanks for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.